for years, scientists have reasoned. Music is popular, it's ancient, and continually ranked as one of the most supreme pleasures of life. Given all that, they wondered, is there a region of the brain that responds specifically to music?
There's a region of the brain that deals specifically with visual cues, like reading people's faces. For a long time, scientists couldn't find that similar area of the brain that responded to music. Until now, a research team at MIT has been given a peek into what's being called the brain's music room. Using functional MRIs, they've identified the specific neural pathways that react almost exclusively to music.
Here to talk about the findings are two members of that team from MIT. Nancy Kanwisher is a professor at MIT and an investigator at the McGovern Institute for Brain Research. Her lab uses functional MRIs to investigate the functional architecture of the human brain. Nancy, great to have you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And also with us today, we've got Sam Norman Hagner, a postdoctoral researcher at MIT, whose work focuses on understanding the human auditory cortex. Sam, welcome.
Thanks.
And so, Nancy, going into this research, what exactly were you looking for?
Well, as background, I've been looking for the last 20 years or so at the overall organization of the human brain. So we think that's a really exciting question because it's basically a way to ask, who are we? What are our brains made up of? What are the basic components of the human mind? And that's been a very exciting research program, and we've discovered a lot of specialized regions of the brain that respond very selectively to when you do very specific kinds of things, like face recognition, or reading a word, or thinking about what another person is thinking, or understanding a sentence. Each of those activates a very specific part of the brain. And so we wanted to know for a long time whether music might be another mental function that has its own special purpose brain machinery. So that was a tough question to answer until Sam came along. So maybe he can tell you what he's done.
Right. And Sam, why did music seem like such a likely candidate for dedicated brain architecture, so to speak?
Well, one of the nice things about the approach that we use to reveal this putatively music-selective region is that the analysis that we used to find it basically didn't know anything about what it should find, didn't know whether it should find something that was selected for music or speech or, you know, whatever else. And so as a result, when we ran this analysis and it basically revealed this neural population that responded selectively to music, we found that sort of particularly striking because basically the analysis didn't know anything about what it should find a priori.
So you said this is a kind of a neutral way. This is computational. How did this work? How did you get to this answer, Nancy?
The simple way of thinking of it is you start with a large amount of data. So we have 10,000 individual three-dimensional pixels or voxels across 10 subjects' brains in their broader auditory cortex, and we know the magnitude of the response of each of those pixels to each of 165 different sounds. So that's 18 million numbers. And then what we do is we ask the math to simplify this and give us a simple description of the data, and it basically finds six simple components that can account for most of the data. And that didn't have to be. That was a cool result in itself, that we could understand and characterize the response of the brain to this wide array of different kinds of sounds with six simple patterns. And it just emerged when we looked at those six patterns that one of them reflected selectivity for music. And that's just remarkable because the space of possible things we could find is just enormous. And the fact that one of them very neatly mapped on, just when we looked at it, you could just see, oh, that's music selectivity, a high response to all of these wildly different kinds of music sounds, and a low response to everything else. So it just popped right out of the raw data.
And I want to give a listen to some of the things that your subjects were listening to, because you have a whole array of, I guess, auditory cues, different sounds, and music. Let's listen to the sounds first.
It's supposed to either rain or snow.
Hannah is good at compromising.
Okay, so you've got the stuff of everyday life there. You've got toilets flushing. You've got people talking. You've got people brushing your teeth. The brains of your subjects heard all that. And they also heard some music. They heard stuff like this. So they heard all that, tons of different styles of music there, all those different sounds mixed in. How did the brain tell them apart?
Well, so, I mean, like,
One of the interesting aspects of the finding is that this music selective population that we discovered responded to lots of different types of music. And one of the interesting facts about music in general is that music is a remarkably heterogeneous category. There are lots of different types of things that people typically call music. And it's very different from the types of categories that we know exist for other types of things. So, for example, speech is a much more homogenous category. You know, the different types of speech sounds that people encounter are in some sense much more similar than the different types of music that we encounter. And so the fact that you find a brain region that responds in some sense strongly to all of these different types of music is sort of one of the interesting results of the experiment.
To back up a moment, music is fascinating because every human culture that's been studied has it, and no animal that's been studied has anything approaching human music. And so it's both uniquely and universally human, and yet at the same time, nobody even knows why we have it. So evolutionary theorists have been fighting for a long time trying to understand why we have music, and nobody has a really clear story about why we have it. And so one story was that music just kind of piggybacks on other brain mechanisms, for example, mechanisms for understanding speech or processing language or God knows what else, right? And what our result shows is understanding music or perceiving music isn't just a byproduct of other mechanisms. It has its own special purpose mechanism. So it's its own thing. It's not a byproduct. And I think that's a fascinating result of this research.
We're talking right now with Nancy Kanwisher and Sam Norman Hagner, part of the team that use functional MRIs to locate specific neural pathways in the brain that respond exclusively to music. And as you were saying, Nancy, from an evolutionary perspective, it doesn't seem like music would be as important to survival as, say, speech. So what do we know about why music may have this privileged role in the brain, and how is that going to change the way that we think about music?
Well, the why questions are very hard. I think the answer could easily have been otherwise, and it's an empirical result that, wow, apparently we do have this special purpose machinery. The question of why different mental functions get specialized machinery in the brain is a really big, important one, but we just don't know the answer. And I want to mention that, like, not everything that has special machinery in the brain is the product of evolution and natural selection. So, for example, there's a part of the brain that responds very selectively and strongly to visually presented words. And that can't be a result of natural selection because people haven't been reading long enough for evolution to have crafted it. So we shouldn't assume that just because there are special neural mechanisms for music that they've evolved. It may be that they result from extensive experience with music. And this is something we can't tell yet from our current experiments. But Sam has lots of ideas of what to do next to find out.
Right, and I'd love to hear that, Sam. Where would you like to see this research go from here?
So there are a lot of sort of open questions about what this specific music population does. So, for example, you asked the question of, you know, how does your brain differentiate between all the different types of music that you typically listen to? And that's basically a question that we don't really know the answer to. We know that there's, you know, this population that responds strongly to lots of different types of music, but we don't know, for example, whether there are subpopulations within this area that, say, respond to musical rhythms or to musical pitches or to musical harmonies. Basically, we don't know how all of the different aspects of musical structure that you're sensitive to and care about are mapped in this population and other populations of the brain.
Does this tell you as a researcher, though, just for the layperson, that, yeah, there's a reason why we respond so powerfully to music?
That's a very hard question, I think, to answer. I mean, it suggests that music is a sufficiently sort of important category to warrant, you know, a relatively large piece of tissue to process it. But exactly how that maps onto, you know, our appreciation of music and the emotional impact that music has on us is a sort of a harder question to answer, I think.
All right, we'll leave it there. Nancy and Sam, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
That was Nancy Kanwisher and Sam Norman Hagner. They're part of the team that use functional MRIs to locate specific neural pathways in the brain that respond especially to music.